There is a runaway success brewer around here named Oak Highlands. And you probably know them, or you see their beers showing up at all sorts of bars and restaurants and package stores and every place else. But the story behind it's really intriguing. Two friends, Darren Williams and Brad Maul, both had legitimate jobs. They were a geologist, and in the case of Brad Maul, an attorney. He was a partner. And he gave everything up to go brew beer. If I was his father, I would have killed him. He joined us right now. If I was your wife, I would have divorced you, in fact. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thanks for having me.
So why? How could you give up, I mean, all the schooling and all the toil and to get there, and you walk away from it all?
Yeah, I mean, it's a passion. I started making beer in 1991 and just continued to make it while I was a lawyer, and decided that if I didn't get in on this craft beer business boom, I would never do it and regret it for the rest of my life.
We graduated from the same school, from Swanee. You started making this when you were at Swanee?
Yes, sir. Freshman year.
Did anybody, your freshman year?
Yeah.
You were too young to drink it. You made it, but you didn't drink it, because I know you were too young. Did they know you were making beer in your dorm room?
Well, I was in a dorm that didn't have a dorm mother, so just RAs, and they enjoyed it enough not to say anything about it. So
this craft beer phenomenon that's taken over, I mean, it doesn't show any signs of slowing down, but you were there before the phenomenon hit, it sounds like.
Well, I started making beer out of necessity. I mean, you know where we were, and the closest beer stores were pretty far away, and at the time, Shiner Bock had just become available, and Pierre Celis had opened up a craft brewery down in Austin, and so my parents were bringing beer up to me after football games. They would come and watch me play football, and you just have to know my father. He finally said, "That's enough. Too much gas mileage. It's killing me. You know, I'm not doing this anymore." And so I said, "Wow, that stinks. What am I supposed to do now?" And he said, "Well, why don't you make beer? Your grandfather did." And this was before the internet, so I got a magazine, filled out a form, had a bunch of equipment delivered to the dorm, and made it in the kitchen there.
And I looked at the list of places that are selling, that are retailing, are pouring your beer. It's phenomenal. I mean, it's like hundreds, right?
Oh, it's multiple hundreds. We're only in Dallas-Fort Worth and San Antonio. We launched San Antonio in January, but in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, we're in over 600 places.
How do you market this? Is it word of mouth?
No, I mean, we have a permanent marketing director who deals with social media marketing and print and ad, and we've done a few radio spots with a couple radio stations. But yeah, mainly it's doing events where we get people on notice for social media and bring them out to the events where they give glassware out, and just word of mouth is a big player in that. There's a huge craft beer following in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, and they all talk about what's good, what's bad.
You must be growing your market, because it's a crowded field, it seems to me like.
Yeah, we've had, it seems like, a new brewery a month open for a long time. It's great. We're still not saturated yet. There's still room for everybody, but it is a lot more crowded than when we started 3 years ago, for
sure.
But
it's got to be a tough business. I would assume failures, too, out there.
We've had a few shut down here in Dallas in the last couple of years, but for the most part, more are opening than are shutting down, which is a good thing.
Well, you run, I don't know, what's the proper term, tasting room? You run a bar where you make this stuff, too.
Right. We call it a tap room. It's open Thursdays and Fridays and Saturdays. That's the one thing I would say when you said my wife would divorce me. One of the key conditions to opening this was it's not a bar. It's not going to be open until 2
right,
in the morning.
Right, right, right.
We're still very family-friendly. We're a family-run brewery. And so getting home at a decent hour to put the kids to bed is important.
Well, it sounds like you really do have a lot of support, though. I mean, your father presumably embraces it, and your wife has to be supportive.
Oh, very much so. I mean, they were, both of our wives were very encouraging when we decided we were going to do this. They saw that, you know, this was something that we truly enjoyed, and when we were out as homebrewers at the various festivals and doing things, we're just different people in terms of how we interacted and how much happier we were with what we were doing, and not, you know, not weighted down by our other jobs. So
is this a 7-day job for you?
Absolutely. I work harder now than I did when I was a lawyer.
That's what I figured. Yeah. So where do you see it? I mean, where are you going to be 10 years from now?
Well, 10 years from now, I hope we have statewide distribution. Right now, like I said, we're just in Dallas-Fort Worth and San Antonio. We hope to reach...
Well, at your rate, you're going to have it in less than 5 years.
Well, we would hope so. We hope to be in San Antonio and Houston, Austin and Houston in the next 6 to 18 months. And then from there, we'll branch out to West Texas and to North Texas a little bit further over towards...
You know, and it would seem like you have entered such an incredibly highly regulated business. As a lawyer, but it seems to me that they're loosening it. I saw this thing the other day that what Amazon can suddenly deliver beer and wine, and they're talking about maybe allowing liquor sales in more places. It's got to be working in your favor, I would think.
Well, I will tell you, and this is a very poignant topic. The beer laws in Texas are broken, and I'm on the Texas legislative guild for the Texas craft. The Legislative Committee for the Texas Craft Brewers
Guild. Now, what do you mean they're broken?
Well, there is a distinction between beer and a distinction between ale. Yeah. If you make a product that has less than 5% alcohol by volume, it's called beer. If it's more than 5% alcohol by volume, it's called ale. And there are two different sets of rules, two different sets of regulations. And just to put a finer point on it, one of those rules and regulations is if you make ale, you can't store your beer outside of the county where it's made. So for us, where we self-distribute, we don't go through a distribution company. We personally have our own trucks and deliver the beer.
Right.
That means if we're going to go to San Antonio, 5 hours away, we have to make sure that every beer that we take down there is delivered, or get whatever else is not delivered back to our warehouse before midnight of the same day. It almost makes it impossible for us to reach parts of Texas in a self-distribution standpoint.
Was that the idea? Was this created by lobbyists?
It was created by wholesale beer lobbyists, yes.
That's
because if you think about it, the big distributors distribute the macro beers, Bud, Miller, Coors, all those beers are less than 5% alcohol by volume. So those rules were put in place so that they could do things where the rest of us couldn't. Now, there's a time and a place for every regulation. I'm not saying that all the laws are broken, but that's one instance of how silly it is. The other instance is you can walk into a winery and buy two cases of wine and take them home with you. You can walk into a distillery and buy two 750 milliliter bottles of distilled spirits and take them home with you. You can walk into a brew pub and buy a six pack to go, but you cannot go into a brewery and buy any beer to take out and take home with you.
So if I go to your tap room, I can drink on the premise, but I can't buy anything from
you? You can't buy any liquor to take home, no.
That is kind of weird. But you're going to, that's going to be a tough lobbying effort, I would think. If Elon Musk can't sell his cars here, you got to buy them online through California. Then.
Well, there's been some lawsuits about them and unsuccessful this year. We just, a couple of the breweries here in town lost a lawsuit on six packs to go. It's going to the Supreme Court. But, I think the tides are changing. The folks think it's pretty ridiculous that you can't buy the law says we can serve 5,000 barrels of beer in our tap room. What does it matter if that some of that is to be taken home and consumed off premises?
Evidently it's enough to shut you down if you do it. Your law degree is going to come in handy after all, it sounds like.
I hope so.
And you guys were a raging success, and we wish you all the luck of the world for Oak Highlands Brewery, OHB. You see their logo. Now you'll see it everywhere. At least that's my sense. Our guest today, Brad Ball, co-founder of OHB. It's good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
We wish you a lot of luck.
Appreciate it.
Yay, Swanee's right.
YSR.
David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.